There's been a rally called to try and defend the Otway Basin from seismic testing. Now, Zoe, you're a Deakin University Marine Science PhD candidate. Can you get my listeners some understanding of what this seismic testing might look like and why it's such a an offence to nature?
Yeah, and that's such a great question because often the way we've found that it is described or the process is described by these companies going through the consultation process is not actually in line with the science, and we've been quite frustrated with that. You shouldn't have to have a university degree to be able to understand what's being proposed in your own local environment. Essentially, what's happening is this is actually the largest proposed seismic testing area in the entire world. This type of 3D seismic testing has not been done to this scale in this region before and has not been done this close to shore. Effectively, what they do is blast incredibly loud sound waves down to the ocean floor, and that's how they map it. It sort of bounces back and that gives them the shape. But we're talking incredibly loud noise, you know, something that you would not be able to be around, like in a workplace or like at all, even with ear protection. And so if we're talking about the local environment, some can seem a bit obvious to people, you know, mammals like whales or seals that might have ears similar to ours. It can seem pretty straightforward of how that would impact. So right down to the very building blocks. So we know this sound is actually so loud that all our little microscopic plankton that are often, you know, swimming around in the oceans, but also reproductive plankton that are sort of spawned by things like abalone or even seaweeds will put out little microscopic babies into the water column. This sound is so loud it actually explodes them. So we're talking about potentially, you know, wiping out an entire reproductive generation. Things like abalone in particular, they don't breed year to year. They might have like boom and bust breeding years where they'll maybe every 5 years they'll have a really big season. And if we test in that season, you know, we're wiping out potentially an entire generation. And we only know this about abalone because they're commercially important. So imagine how many other species out there that we just don't have the data on that are potentially impacted for generations to come. And we're really just being quite frustrated with how this data is being presented. Is often they'll say, oh, well, you don't have data to prove harm, but they don't have data to prove safety either.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, what they're proposing for this is creation of an underwater desert, really, isn't it? That's what they're creating with this kind of, mad approach to commercial investigation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's just very strange. And you even see with the whales, they'll say, oh, well, we'll stop testing if we see a whale that gets close. But, you know, whales communicate over hundreds of kilometres. And we know from whaling times that whales are so good at communicating with each other that their migration routes changed in response to whaling pressures, even for whales that never experienced themselves. So pretty much their mates told them, don't come here, it's not safe, and they were able to change it. And so that's the sort of impacts we're talking about. It's not just on the animals that are present there exactly when it's happening, but it's all the other animals that migrate through the area. It's also their future generations.
The thing that's so interesting about the coalition that is calling the rally on Sunday is that it's Indigenous, commercial, scientific, and the councils are all so up against it.
Yeah, I know. And this, like, for me, it was such a big thing. You know, we've got a rally organised by, you know, commercial fishermen alongside people who ran for Animal Justice Party, you know, like that doesn't happen too often. But that's really, especially in light of, you know, what happened last weekend with the vote, the local community has really come around, like Gudrun Chamara, Indigenous people here in Warrnambool who are really opposed to this. and said, "No, we agree with you. We're here standing with you because we can all see how important their care and their custodianship of this area is."
Well, I was really taken by Councillor Angie Paspaliaris's comment from the Warrnambool Council that Australia doesn't have a gas supply problem. 80% of Australia's gas is exported. And in fact, this is really about multinational companies and their shareholders, a fight against a Goliath, against the local communities.
Yeah, and it's a real shame, this whole consultation process that they're legally required to go through. We put a question to them that we have recorded. It was from an online webinar that if, you know, traditional owners came out in complete, you know, unity and said, "We don't want seismic testing on our cultural lands and waters," what would their response be? And they let us know that if there's a blanket opposition, they don't actually have to consider it at all, because all this consultation is about what, how and when. It's not actually about if it goes ahead. And as a scientist, that's really concerning to me, because that sort of suggests, well, there's never going to be enough data that we can show to prove that, like, this is just not safe.
The council's position, they said that they're going to go into bat at a federal level. And it's interesting because this pitting different power interests and against what is basically fossil fuel exploration, when in actual fact all the evidence is that fossil fuels should be in the ground, and that federally they keep saying, "Oh yes, we're going to have a sustainable future," but the question is when and what's at stake, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, being, you know, a rural regional area down here in Warrnambool, this idea about, you know, having more gas and more fossil fuels is quite frustrating for us, because you see, you know, in Gippsland and you see in other places in Victoria where, you know, it's no longer tenable for companies over there to continue their coal-powered operations, their fossil fuel operations. And that's having, like, socially and economic devastating impacts on those communities. And so the idea that, you know, this is a good idea to do down here, it makes it feel like, well, is that what we're going to be at, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, if this is the road they're going to take? So it doesn't make sense environmentally, it doesn't make sense socially, culturally, or really economically if you look in the long term.
And it's interesting too that there's been a couple of legal cases that have actually kiboshed this same process in Western Australia and the Tiwi Islands.
Yeah, and we're hoping that, like, we're able to support Yaron, who's one of our great speakers who'll be at the rally, and other Gurindjimara peoples, to really, like, assert their right to be able to have a say on what happens on their sea country. You know, here in Warrnambool, we are home to the longest ongoing culture in the world. The level of depth of understanding and connection they have to these waters, you know, a scientist could only dream of having that level of scale of understanding. And if they're saying this is not safe, this cannot go ahead, that needs to be respected. And I think, you know, the courts and, you know, Western scientists are finally catching up with that. And, you know, we just need these sort of organisations to learn that lesson as well.
Now, country areas like Warrnambool, I mean, Warrnambool is quite a large area, a city, but actually for people to stand up and be politically active is not the norm. It is not the norm, is it? So this is a really important issue, isn't it, to the local community?
Yeah, it really is. It's been really heartening to see how many different people. So it's been led by SOPEC, which is an Indigenous group to protect the Southern Ocean. But we, like you mentioned before, we've got fishermen, we've got, you know, everyday people, a lot of mums and dads who are concerned about the future of this area for their kids. And it's just sort of touched so many people because it's got such far-reaching consequences that everyone has really sort of stepped up to the plate and understood that this is important. We even look at the university. We know the science does not support this being able to go ahead in a safe manner. But we also worry here at Warrnambool. We feel so lucky to have a university campus down here. We already struggle with things like brain drain, losing qualified people to the cities, and we're just really worried about even the future of the marine science program down here, because if young students are seeing, you know, devastation in the local marine environment, what's to say they won't choose another marine science program somewhere else that's not facing these issues? So many, such a complex repercussions of doing this that it's meant that everyone sort of got off their butts and is really wanting to get involved.
I'm interested in the fact that according to the MUA, the Maritime Union of Australia, that in that area there are about 22 platforms already needing to be decommissioned in the that area. I find it really fascinating that these companies are allowed to sideline every other element in the question of our future as a country over everything else, even though they leave such detritus behind.
Yeah, and part of my research, so I'm actually a seaweed scientist. Like, I look at all the lovely different types of seaweed we have down here. And part of my work is actually, you know, asking these big questions when it comes to seaweed aquaculture around, you know, what does everyone mean when they say the word sustainable? What does this mean to different groups of people from different walks of life? And from that research, we've really seen that often industry can be out of step with what the local community expects. And they expect whole life cycle, you know, sort of looking at these operations. It's not good enough that just when it operates, it's done well. It needs to be the end, it needs to be the start, it needs to be all working together. And I think we're seeing that more from this pressure where people are like, hang on, why are they being able to continue looking for more when they're not sort of cleaning up their act from where what they were just doing? Like, is that good enough? And are we going to allow that to happen?
And so this rally, it's at 2 p.m. It's at the Breakwater in Warrnambool. The locals will be there. Are you hoping that other people might turn up as well? Because it's a tourist area, Warrnambool, and this whole coast.
Yeah, we would love to see anyone who's able to make the trip down. That's why we've made it a bit later in the afternoon, around 2 p.m. So if anybody wants to come down for a drive and show their support, that's available. Also, just if you see any of the events or media that we're doing on social media, to just share that around and get the word out. We'll have a few actions available on the day. Hear from some local speakers, but have some letter writing and some mailing lists you can sign up to help, like, keep pressure on and really make sure that this doesn't get through.
Okay, thanks very much for talking to me.
Oh, no worries. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for showing interest. I think this is a really important issue.